The date is June 29th, 1990, and we're watching Ghost Dad. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and while I'm giving regular co-host Colin and Aaron the month off, I've brought in my son for my Daddy Issues month here. So with me is the Danny to my Elliot.
That's, yeah, the only applicable relationship I can think of.
Yep. Yeah, it was either that or you were going to be one of my daughters.
Fair enough.
So this week, we are looking back at June 1990, when the movies in theaters were RoboCop 2, Another 48 Hours, Gremlins 2, The New Batch, a lot of sequels, Episode 117 Subject, Dick Tracy, and of course, our movie for today, Ghost Dad, which earned $25.4 million on a $30 million budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a moneymaker.
Yeah, I could see why. I'm surprised this had a theatrical run. It just screams TV movie.
Yeah?
I mean, everything about it. Yeah, the way the shots are comprised, the way, like, the dialogue is written, like, it's just not a good movie.
Yeah, well.
Anyways, we'll get into it.
We have stuff to talk about, yeah.
Wait, how long ago was that? 34 years?
34, yeah.
So, spoiler alert ahead, we are going to be talking about this movie in full, talking about full rundown of it. So, if you haven't seen this movie from 34 years ago and you would like to, I guess go ahead and watch it, but it's up to you.
Yeah, well, and on top of a spoiler warning, for this particular episode, I think I just kind of want to go with a, you know, subject matter warning as well. Just because this movie does star Bill Cosby. And if you've been living under a rock in 2018, Bill Cosby was found guilty of drugging and sexually assaulting a woman. He was the first to receive a sentence in the Me Too era. And so, even though multiple women came forward. So, this is one where we have to separate art and artist. We understand that there's probably some low-hanging Bill Cosby jokes that we will be taking. But, on the other hand, this movie was a big part of my childhood. So that's why I wanted to revisit it, despite the fact that the lead of this movie is a convicted sex felon. So, he's recently been overturned in that conviction as well.
I feel like I heard something about that.
Yeah, in 2021, it was overturned. I didn't care enough to look into the reasons for it being overturned too heavily. It sounds kind of like he was COVID. Promised one thing by another by one prosecutor, but
a little legal technicality.
A different prosecutor didn't live up to that deal, and so he was able. I don't know. Yeah. So I mean, I believe he is out, but yeah, delicate subject matter though with the star of this movie.
Right.
So I found four taglines for this movie that you didn't even know really existed.
Zero history with this film. Never heard of it. Never seen it.
And they came up with four taglines.
I'm only really familiar with Cosby through just pop culture in general and the more infamous side of his history. So yeah,
of course. I mean, have you ever seen an episode of The Cosby Show?
Not an episode for sure.
Okay.
I mean, I know the out the pudding pop. I do sweaters.
Okay.
I know. Yeah.
You know the Family Guy parody of Bill Cosby.
Family Guy parody, yeah. Simpsons parody, whatever parody, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I know the parody Bill Cosby, yeah.
And so, taglines for this movie. First one, he's been walking through doors, he's been falling through floors, he's been going through a lot lately, but he's still dad.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Going through a lot, I get it.
Yeah. So, next one, of course, just name-dropping our star, Bill Cosby, as you've never seen him before, invisible.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I mean, there's a double meaning there because you can't see him either. I don't know. Right. Unless you turn off the lights, apparently. Well, number three, you knew something like this was coming. America's favorite dad in a spirited comedy.
Spirited.
Yeah.
He's also a shit dad.
Yeah.
In this one.
It is, but that is, once again, name-dropping the popularity of Bill Cosby. Because he was still on The Cosby Show at this time. It was in, like, its seventh season or something like that. There were still only, like, it ran until 1992. So, and finally, this one, I think, is actually clever. Like, the people that wrote this, they understood the assignment. So, the joys of trans parenthood.
Very cool.
I thought it was... It's clever. It's the best bit of writing in this movie, I think.
Fair enough. You can say that.
Well, it's not a very good description, so we gotta go to Chris and get a 60-second synopsis.
I know what tagline I would have put on the poster. Welcome to a rapist's dream. Hereditary ghostliness? Terrible person, Bill Cosby. Elliot Hooper? Did I get it on that one?
There we go.
A widowed single father who doesn't even know his oldest child's name. After dumping all parental duties on her so he can focus on his important job of accounts and business. A metaphorical ghost dad, if you will. Let me tell you, it'd be a damn shame were he to become a literal ghost dad. Well, for those of you who guessed ghost dad, you'd be fucking wrong. Guess you've never been to England. He's a spirit dad, and there are no rules when you're a spirit dad. If a couple lamps are on, you can't see him, but sometimes you can. If the fridge door opens, he stays in the room, but disappears if you turn on an overhead light. He can fly, sometimes on purpose, mostly by accident. The wind affects a spirit dad, yet he can phase through objects? Anyways, we've gotten off track. Now that horrible spirit dad Bill Cosby is a spirit, he continues to focus on work, letting the relationships around him fall apart. At least till Thursday. However, having to deal with his newfound ailment accidentally forces him into situations with his children, where he learns what he's been missing out on while he's been a metaphorical spirit dad. He cuts it real close and almost becomes a real dead dad. At least, more dead than he's been. But he's not dead. He's in a coma and someone messed up. This movie sucked. But thankfully, being a spirit dad runs in the family. And his daughter spirit dads up after falling down the stairs and saves the day. Everything is well. I think that's about the best synopsis I could give of that movie.
That took me on so many journeys. That was awesome.
And that was your 60-second synopsis.
I like that one. I like that one a lot. Oh, boy. Ghost Dad. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of mislabeled. It's a little
Spirit
false
Dad.
False advertising. Yeah, it should be Spirit Dad.
The international release.
Yeah.
The Zootopia versus Zootropolis of it all.
I will say that the movie Ghost came out the very same year.
I was going to say, I read that in a couple of the reviews.
So
spooky year, Gremlins, Ghost Dad.
Yeah. So it's... I was looking back at the other ones I had written down. It's like, well, not really RoboCop 2, so that's not spooky.
It's spooky in a way. Capitalism will kill you. You know? Spooky in a modern sense.
So Ghost Dad, when this first came out, oh my god, did I love this movie. Because this is one of those movies, I mean, I was 12.
Okay.
This is one of those movies that had a novella that was released with it. So,
like the book?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I read that in the Wikipedia.
But I say novella because it's not a movie based on a book, it's a book that's literally written by someone watching a movie.
It's just a description of the movie. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I've had books. I've had an Iron Man book that was just the Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man book of
So you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I had a Harry and the Hendersons one. I had a Batteries Not Included one.
Yeah.
I love these opportunities to be able to read my movies.
Sure.
And this was one of those ones that I enjoyed the book and I enjoyed the movie and I liked having them go hand in hand. I was 12. I want to keep reinforcing the fact that I was 12.
Okay.
Because I understand, upon this viewing, that this movie is exactly what this show is made for. I used to like this one. Absolutely. I used to love Ghost Dad.
Right.
And so... I haven't seen it in probably almost 30 years, right? Like, I probably haven't seen this since, like, 1991. But I was a Cosby Show watcher, faithfully Cosby Show watcher. We were there for TGIF, and Cosby Show was on Thursdays, I think. But anyway, so seeing Bill Cosby in something else at that time, I loved his albums. I listened to his albums to fall asleep. Like, I really did love Bill Cosby back then. He was America's dad to me at the time. And
an American.
A movie? Hell yeah, I'm there for a Bill Cosby movie, because most of his other movies suck.
Oh, most of his other movies. This one not included.
Well, Leonard Part 6 is famously one of the worst movies of all time,
right.
And that's a Bill Cosby movie. He has had some misses. Sitcoms are definitely his bread and butter.
Right.
Yeah. That and Date Rape Drugs. So, I had to have one. But so, I cannot, you know, stress enough about how much this movie was a special thing to me at that time.
Right.
And disclaimer, so for you had just never heard of it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of this movie, never seen The Cosby Show, never listened to an album of his, never been slipped a Mickey by him. So
you are like the complete opposite of Bill Cosby knowledge, basically.
I'm about as unfamiliar as one can be.
I mean,
yeah.
I know you've seen Fat Albert, the movie.
I had a poster in my room for some reason.
Yeah, you are aware of Fat Albert. So
I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not aware of the cartoon. I'm aware of the SNL guy. What's his name?
Keenan
Thompson?
Thompson.
Yeah, Keenan Thompson's Fat Albert.
Yeah.
So, beyond that,
okay.
And again, just the caricature of him.
Yeah.
It was more of a Arnold, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's jump into Ghost Dad. Now, directed by Sidney Poitier.
That Oscar winner.
Blows my mind. Oscar winner. And R.I.P. Sidney Poitier. He recently passed away.
22.
And of course, this was his last director credit.
Yeah, I had to Google it right away. I was like, I thought he died recently, but he must have retired after the critical reception of this one.
Well, at least retired from directing. He probably went on and produced. So, yes, I just found it fascinating that it's kind of like, okay, this is it, I'm done, see you later, right? It's sort of like how Harold Ramis' last movie is Year One.
I mean, if you took this bad of a swing, you know. I'd give up directing.
It's a rough swing, yeah.
It's a good TV movie.
Yeah.
It's like it's a little over 60 minutes. It's under 90, so... And then all of the shots are done on a fucking tripod.
Yep.
Like, it's
just right on sticks the whole time.
Yeah, it's just... And they're all lingering, long, wide shots. The effects budget is like a TV movie. Like, it...
I have a feeling that almost all of that $30 million probably went towards just the effects.
Green screen Bill Cosby, yeah.
Yeah. And, falling into a rug. I mean, that was a big one for 1990.
Is it, though?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, we have watched Ghost on this show as well, and Ghost had arguably better effects, but...
I guess CG-wise, but like... I don't know.
It's 1990.
I know it's 1990, but I can't think of... I'm just off the top of my head. I'm trying to think of... Like, there are better special effects examples.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, true.
The Thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
There's... But I guess it's a different breed. It's...
Yeah, you're dealing with more...
You're not doing models.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it is very... I don't know, but...
Well, this is produced by Terry Nelson. It's his last film. And written by Brent Maddock. Phil Alden Robinson, under the pseudonym of Chris Reese. This is a man that wrote Field of Dreams, though.
Okay.
Yeah, and S.S. Wilson, so it's written by a boat as well. I'm going to throw that joke out there again.
Nice.
That's my third time with S.S. Wilson that I'm going to make the boat joke. Batteries not included in Short Circuit are other ones that we've seen him on the show
okay,
for.
Okay.
Yeah. So, fun fact, apparently it was supposed to be a Steve Martin movie.
I read that, yeah.
Starring as Elliot Hopper with John Badham directing. Yeah. So... And yes, this movie was released 2 weeks before Ghost.
Right.
So we open this movie with spooky music, all the cool credits, like some cool Ghost Dad credits coming at
you. Cool. Again, like the opening of a TV show. Yeah. Like it's the TV movie. I felt like I was watching like a Twilight Zone special feature, like, ooh, this is what would happen if your dad...
your dials.
Just screamed TV movie the whole time, and that title scream is perfect. I know
you're like, this is a Goosebumps movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you thought? Yeah. Oh, okay. So we hear it's story time with Dad, and he's telling a story, but psych, it's actually a tape recorder. This man has enough time to sit down and record a week's worth of tapes for his child.
Yeah, good point. I never even thought about it, because he has the time to read the fucking book, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's because the schedule doesn't line up. He just records these at a time that's convenient, but...
just in the office.
Yeah, we see that he is just... he's a useless, distant dad. It's his oldest daughter, Diane's birthday. You know, he overhears this. He doesn't even know it's her birthday. So right. He decorates a top hat with shaving cream.
Fucking idiot. Like, it just another... all these bits in this movie were just so just annoying to get through. Yeah. There was only like two or three bits that I chuckled at. The rest was just like, okay, spray foam all over the fucking hat. Okay, cool. Oh, it's a candle and it's a birthday cake. Whatever. Yeah. Just stupid.
Yeah, it's not even a real birthday cake. Like,
no.
Yeah, this man.
And then what's your name? Useless. You know your name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Does he actually not know Diane's name or
get too much on his plate, man? Thursday.
Yeah.
You ever thought about Thursday for half a second? Just infinite possibilities. Thursday, it's gonna change his life. He's gonna get a car. He's gonna get a the state of Florida.
I know, like the MacGuffin of the movie.
It's just Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Come on, everybody, relax. Get off my back.
It's
Thursday
just
will be here.
The concept of a day is the importance of all of this movie hinges on Thursday.
Thursday.
Well, let's talk about this cast, because we already talked about Bill Cosby as Elliot Hopper. This was his last lead film, though. After this, he had like supporting roles in Meteor Man, Jack, and Fat Albert. So he is in Fat Albert.
Right, but, yeah, he like visits him in the movie, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like that, yeah. So he's Elliot, then we got Kimberly Russell as Diane Hopper, Denise Nicholas as Joan. Most of these names, I have no idea who any of them are outside of Bill Cosby, right? Like, I don't recognize any of these people from anything else. Like, quick scrolls of their IMDBs didn't give me anything.
Right.
Oh, shit, that's that guy, right?
Yeah.
None of that, right? Brooke Fontaine as Amanda Hopper, Ian Bannon as Sir Edith.
Yes.
That was a fun bit.
Great joke.
Yeah, great joke. Sir Edith Moser.
The joke that never stops giving.
It doesn't, no. Yeah, because, you know, Edith is a man's name, a woman's name, but he's a man.
Yes.
And so it's Edith.
Oh, yeah. Wait a second. Oh.
Yeah, see, it's, okay. Yeah, it's.
That is funny, actually, now that you.
They're really hanging their hat on that one joke in the scene.
They're hanging their hat on fucking six jokes this entire movie.
Yeah. Christine Ebersole as Carol, and I guess it's a role that Kim Basinger turned down.
Damn, role of a lifetime.
Yeah. Christine Ebersole is someone that I recognize from stuff, because she's in, there's this Bob Hart's Abishola sitcom that I've seen. Yeah, and she was in that. Barry Corbin is Mr. Emery Collins. Yeah, I mean, there we go. Cast list. Good enough.
Sounds good, yeah.
So, the little boy is a magician. And
Daniel, my character. Daniel,
yeah, your character. Yeah, he's a magician, fellow. But his dad doesn't give a shit about him being a magician.
As a good father should.
Yeah, as you should push him away from a career in magic.
Give the kid a football.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
get him into sports. Yeah, not this magic shit. So as a birthday present, his daughter gets to drive him to work that day. She gets to have the car, the shitty fucking station wagon.
A birthday present, you have to run this errand. Yeah. But I guess she gets to hold on to the car for the day after.
Like, did she drive him all the way into Manhattan? Like, actually into the heart of New York City? Like, that's a lot of...
Is that where this takes place?
But that's what I thought it was.
Jeez, I watched this afternoon and I've already wiped it from the hard drive.
Well, unless it's Chicago or something.
I don't know. He lives in a suburb.
Well, I'm wondering, like, did she drive him all the way to the middle, like downtown, or did she just drive him to a subway station?
He's an office worker. So, well, and he says later in the movie when they drop him off at the office when he's ghostified. Spoiler alert: we mentioned it at the beginning, but. when he's ghostified, they drop him off and he says, okay, kids, don't forget to pick me up. Which, I mean, this is different. He can't exactly take the subway as a ghost, but he can. But he can fly.
Yeah. there's a lot going on. Yeah.
It's hard to get into the logic of this movie, so I'm just going to let you continue roll with the punches, because if I just, it'll make my fucking brain short circuit just debating the logic of this movie. None of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways.
I do like all the psych outs of all the various ways that he could have died.
I thought for, like, first of all, the first thing I need to mention is I watched this with my girlfriend and I paused it because 3 minutes into this movie, she guessed it. Nail on the head. Or hit the nail on the head about the, like, synopsis of the movie. She said, he's an absent father and he's going to become a ghost later.
Yeah.
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 And I went, oh, that's definitely.
That's the thesis.
3 minutes into it. So I will admit, when it played off the first death, I went, oh, because I was immediately just expecting him to die. Yeah. I went, ghost dad. Okay, he's going to be a ghost at some point.
Yeah,
but then I was like, "Oh, the metaphor of it all. Maybe he's just absent, and it's a psych out."
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah,
I'll give it that much.
Yeah, because I did notice he is the only black man in that elevator.
I wanted in my synopsis to throw in a little race joke somewhere. The only black guy in the office, kind of.
Yeah,
but low hanging fruit, you know.
Yeah, and so narrowly avoids falling in the elevator, though, because we see the cable snapping slowly.
Yes,
we build all this tension.
Does he even, like, learn that he narrowly died?
No, I don't think so.
He's on some, like, Final Destination type shit, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then ends up getting into, like, the most hazardous taxi after his meeting or whatever. He gets into the most hazardous taxi you'll ever come across.
Now, if you're watching this film, I'll say maybe just watch this scene. This is the only real scene I enjoyed. The taxi.
You enjoyed the wild taxi ride.
It went on. It's overstayed its welcome. It went on a little too long. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It made me want to play Crazy Taxi.
Yeah. And you do get the call back to it at the end when he ends up seeing him again.
Yes. Bill Cosby claiming he's Satan. It's like he was trying to tell us all along. But... Yeah, no, that was a very funny scene. The rear projection of it all looked like shit.
Oh, yeah.
It looked
sure
like
did.
Like the Batman show.
They spent all the money on being able to make him fall through that carpet.
But the front rear projection looked a lot better. I don't understand why. The rear projection, ooh, I don't know, rear squared, I guess.
Yeah.
that looked like shit, but the front looked a lot better. And I, yeah, when he turned around to look for like a solid minute just at Bill Cosby while he swerved around the road and the actual footage seemed to follow his actual hand movements, I was kind of impressed and I thought that was very funny.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
And this, I mean, as ludicrous as the idea of this particular cabbie driver, I mean, this meth smoking, I have to assume, cabbie driver that's cruising him around, Satan worshiper, he only serves the function so that they can get their IDs, swapped.
Yes.
That's the only function he serves, is to make him a John Doe. But there could have been other ways to do it. But hey, if you like this scene, then I say, we keep it in.
We keep it in. Fair enough.
Yeah, we're not going to pull this scene out of the movie. We're going to keep it in because it's the good one.
It was funny. There are bits of it that were funny. He was just crazy. But yeah, like I said, it went on too long.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, boom, dead dad. Right? It's weird. The officer that shows up at the accident scene, it's weird that he shows up, looks at this damaged railing, looks over the edge, and is like, oh, I don't know. I don't see anything. And then he takes a piss.
Yeah.
And drives off. Right? Like, you'd think he would call it in and at least, like, barricade it off or something. Like, you know, do some policing. And, you know, instead, no, he's going to urinate at the scene of a crime or a scene of a possible accident.
Yeah. No, okay. Sounds like paperwork. Fuck that.
Yeah. I like the moment of the guy peeing on Bill Cosby.
Serves him right. Yeah. Boo, Bill Cosby.
Well, that's not even what I mean. I don't know.
That's a win for us. I also liked seeing him as a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But yeah, so I just, yeah, in the middle of nowhere, you'd think you would call in this guardrail. I don't know. I just.
Again, paperwork, but yeah, no, he's, I hope we get his badge number.
So he ends up going home, and we end up finding that he can be seen in the shadows, but not heard. And boy, these kids suck at charades, too. Like, it took them a long while to... But I like the moment where they're all celebrating that they figured out, oh, he's a ghost. And wait, yes. Shit.
Yeah.
He's a ghost. Yeah.
That was, yeah, a little, oh, brings a tear to your eye.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. But then the moment where it's also an opportunity for Bill Cosby to do like some silly voices.
I hated that.
Yeah.
It was just the voices and the shtick he does just... I don't get why he was so popular.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I hope his comedy albums were something else, because I'm assuming his Cosby shtick was a lot very similar to just very slapstick and stupid and goofy, and, like, I get it if you're a kid, but just...
Yeah, I...
Terrible.
If you haven't watched it, it's hard to know. Like, it's tough. This is not a good example of Bill Cosby. If you ever wanted to know anything about his repertoire. Yeah, this is not the ideal.
Worst thing he's ever done, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, yeah?
Yes.
And professionally. Professionally.
No, ever. And I stand by that.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you mentioned a lot of really dicey stuff in the beginning.
Yeah, there was that.
Can we do like an edit on this?
Yeah, well,
like a retraction.
I'll think about it. Yeah,
you do so, edits, right?
Yeah, I do edits. I'll pull it out. Why not? So he, So instead, though, right when they figure out that he's dead, he ends up getting socked away. He gets summoned by Edith. Now, yeah. I don't understand the fact that he can touch. Like, when Edith, like, calls him, he's like, hey, you know, stick your finger to this. And he can, like, is it him touching that thing that makes him able to touch?
He's out of alignment. And it's...
Yeah,
you have to be from London to understand. I don't know.
I don't understand how you can be out of touch. Like,
he uses that lightsaber on him.
Yeah, it's like when he gets home and he falls through the floor. It's like you walked all the way home and this is the first time you've encountered walking through something.
Yeah, well, and then when he fell through the rug, too, I'm like, what's stopping him from falling through the floor and the rest of the earth?
And the crust of the earth.
It's like, it's why I don't want to, like, even touch getting into the physics and the logic of this movie. It's just...
Okay.
But yeah, he uses a lightsaber on him and he can touch things. Yeah. Did you catch that? The lightsaber sound effect?
I don't think I did.
There's a, like, just a lightsaber booting up sound, like, literally the lightsaber booting up sound effect.
Huh.
It comes like a, turns on a flashlight or something in that room, and it literally, bzz, like it does one of those. He waves it around at one point, too, and I swear to God it made a lightsaber moving around noise.
Huh. I did not notice.
You're going to have to go back and watch this scene with Edith.
Do I?
It really caught me off. I wrote in all caps, lightsaber sound. I rewinded it a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I will go check it out.
I know what that shit sounds like, man.
Yeah. Well, of course you do.
Choose a different sound effect.
So, with his conversation with Edith is like, you're not going to last very long. They never do. And he's like, this is where we find out just how important Thursday is. He has to make it to Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world will end if he doesn't make it to Thursday.
Yeah. So he gets sent back by Edith. Like, this side quest with the London guy.
Yeah.
Is where it gets weird. Like, that's where it goes off the rails. Like,
instead of magician, could have made his kid a supernatural expert nerd.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the lady next door is also a psychic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scary lady, the witch at the end of the block. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, Londoner.
Yeah, the kids never even asked why he's a ghost. Like, there's never a conversation of, shit, what happened?
And they never get particularly sad. Like, I get that they still get to interact with their dad, so it's not like he's actually dead, but... The little kid kind of wanders off with a solemn look, but nobody ever gets like, oh shit, my dad's dead. That's the explanation for him being a ghost.
Yeah. So now he decides he can still go to work.
Yeah.
And take a physical. Somehow this has all turned into, he's also going to scam his way into...
Yeah, is that insurance fraud?
Can
we throw him away for something else?
I don't know. And what happens if the guy he stole the pee from is
really
sick?
We were saying that in while we were watching it. We're like, you better hope he doesn't have like diabetes or something. Yeah. Like, you're just immediately fucking up your insurance.
Yeah, or a heroin habit or something like that.
That guy did look like it. He's nodding off while he's taking that piss.
He didn't even notice the floating cup in front. I mean,
yeah, that's the other
like
thing.
Anytime
the logic
that,
in this movie.
Anytime I've had to pee in a cup, I mean, I get that cup right up to the rim. You know, like I'm not holding that cup 3 feet away. I'm not going for distance when I'm giving a urine sample. So he would have already had the cup right up to the tip of his junk.
Yeah.
So
again, the logic, like, did it turn invisible in his hand? But we later in that same scene see him walk down the hallway wearing his clothes, and it's a whole invisible man bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
he's shy. So
this movie's crazy.
I always gotta ask about the logic of why the kids are always around. Like, are they just taking this time off because special circumstances?
It's June. June 29th, 1990.
Yeah, well...
They're on summer holiday.
Well, no, but they're not, though, because he has...
Oh, he has a school.
He has a school presentation at one point, and we know it's not the weekend, because everything hinges on him making it to Thursday.
Yeah, it must be a weekend.
Which is, like, 2 days away.
Yes.
Yeah, so... But the kids are always just, hey, come pick me up. It's the 90s. They don't have fucking cell phones. Like... I need you to come get me. I need you to take me to do this physical. I need you, you know, I'm demand, yet I'm never around. Like, maybe that's why the kids never get that sad. It's because it's like, we forgot what he fucking looked like anyway.
Well, yeah.
Except for the little girl in the tape recorder.
He is a metaphorical spirit dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah.
Now, there is the one moment where the neighbor Joan... See, this is what I don't get. When the daughter is driving him to school, at first, like, Joan comes out, and it seems like they've just got something flirtatious going on.
Right, yeah, that's when I started to question, like, does he have a wife? Where are these kids from?
Yeah, so the wife is dead.
Kid? Yeah.
But, so, I mean, I guess maybe that's why they don't care. They've been through death before.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's the second time it happens, whatever. But it's just when Joan invites him over to, like, fully seduce him, like... It seems like they have a relationship going on at that point.
Seems like a scene Bill Cosby insisted upon.
It does. And with what we know about Bill Cosby now, I mean, this was the one scene that really made me uncomfortable in the entire movie. Is it's like,
yeah,
Bill Cosby with, whoa, sex faces and his jello pudding pop face.
Again, his shtick just, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've also had the whole side plot of the girlfriend the oldest daughter and her boyfriend, this creepy, like, useless guy. And
Twin Peaks guy.
Is he from Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
Oh, wild.
He's one of the boyfriends.
But, like, put the bitch on the phone? Really?
Yeah. It's like, the 90s, man.
We're supposed to believe that someone that speaks to, like, that he wouldn't go to his daughter and say, look, he called you a bitch. Like, you.
Well, she'd be like, you don't understand. We talk like that. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I suppose so. I just can't believe anyone would talk like that to a parent or, I don't know. It just.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's saying that directly too. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's so disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
I don't know.
I wouldn't let him date my daughter.
I was a better 1990 kid than that.
You were 12.
Yeah.
If you called somebody and said, put the bitch on the phone, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, well, you don't know how I roll.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, now we...
I kind of know how you roll. You had a book about Ghost Dad, and you watched Ghost Dad a bunch.
Well, that's true.
So, that kind of speaks a little bit about what you were up to in 1990.
Isn't that the point, though, that he also goes through the phone with, like, those terrible special effects? And
yes, that looked straight out of fucking Casper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
But after he does that, he gets his first flicker.
Yes, yeah, he starts to Miles Morales just glitch out or whatever.
That was exactly the inspiration they took it from.
Yeah, they stole it from Ghost Dad. Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. Meanwhile, at school.
Meanwhile.
Danny, the son, is going to do his very dangerous magic trick. Now, what would the magic kit have had that was any different than what he... Like, he's the one that dropped the key.
Yeah.
So, that's on him. Like...
I
don't see how the trunk trick would have been any better with what they
provided. Maybe the trunk came with fake locks.
Breakaway cuffs, yeah, okay.
Something to hook the shoulder of the straitjacket on so that you can help take it off or something. I don't
know.
Maybe,
yeah, okay.
Who knows? But he could have put all that shit in the box easily. Unless he needs his dad to work the drill or something, I guess.
Yeah, well... But, you know, this is when Dad finally comes through.
Right.
Yeah, and we end up not only succeeding with the trick, but, like, just going above and beyond and showing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun enough bit. I'll give him that.
I have trouble, though, understanding the physics. Like, is he super strong because he's a ghost? Because... the way that the trunk is floating and you can't see the invisible body, he would be carrying it at such a weird angle with his arms outside the trunk, with his head inside the... Like, it's...
Yeah, and he says, you got heavier kid and blah, 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 blah. But, yeah. Plus, also, he, at one point, is half phasing through it while he's holding it, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, can you turn certain parts of your body solid and phase with just your head?
Uh-huh.
Like, No, again,
too many questions. It's too many questions.
It'd be a 2-hour long podcast if we debated the logic of it. I hated it. They should have set some fucking ground rules and stuck to, like, the light thing. I liked it.
Yeah.
Maybe in a modern day we could have done where he flickered when you opened the fridge door, but it's like you bathe the dude in light and he stays there. At the end when he's having the meeting with all those guys, like, there's like 4 lamps on in that room.
Yeah. The secretary has a lamp in the background.
Everybody can see him. Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
The logic of this movie is none. Yeah. There is none.
But he does get fired over going and finally being a dad, of course.
Well, to be fair, and this is another thing that bothered me, and I get it, character development, whatever, but just kept leaving in the middle of a fucking meeting to go do something that takes a lot more than just a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Like, he went and banged that chick, allegedly.
Right? Yeah, like...
In the middle of a meeting.
In the middle of the meeting, he takes off to go talk to Joan. Like,
And he flew there, but she lives, like, next door.
Yeah.
And again, almost disappeared with the wind when he went to do it. And why did that bit of information need to happen during the meeting? Oh, yeah, everybody come into the living room. I'll be back in, hopefully, not 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll see if somebody tries to fuck me or not. And then he wanders off, almost gets taken away like the Up house. Goes into the house and she tries to jump his bones, and he comes back after allegedly having sex, and then does the same thing. He drives to a fucking school unless he can fly now on his own, and it's not windy. Fingers crossed. Makes it all the way to the school, does a whole thing, lifts him down the aisle, ooh, helps him out of his straitjacket. Like, that took like time. Unless the school is down the street,
unless he's figured out teleportation,
an hour at least.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. The logic, again.
No logic whatsoever.
I'm surprised he lasts 14 years at this company if he's like, this can't be the first time he did it. Maybe his wife died recently and he's had to start doing dad shit. That's what this implies, at least.
Yeah.
Didn't even know their names. The oldest. I get not knowing the youngest. He's been around a couple years, whatever. The oldest, it's like...
You've got 16 years of experience with that one.
And she's, like, old by, like, she was your only child until relatively recently.
There's a big gap.
Yeah.
Unless that kid is just, he's been waiting, he's overdue for a growth spurt. You know, that could be the possibility, but...
It threw me off because they keep visiting a high school in the movie, and I just assumed it was the at least 16-year-old, because she's driving and she has a car.
Yeah.
But I think they visit this high school for this kid, too, so are but they implying American he's like a freshman?
Down
so
to grade 9, yeah.
Right, but like...
13? He could be 13.
I guess he could be 13.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it could be his first year of high school, her last year of high school.
So then they're not too spread out in age then.
Yeah. But that kid looks young enough that you would think that.
Black don't crack, man. He could be 22.
Yeah, that too. And that girl, though, I mean, chances are she's the only one that's actually old enough to be able to work regular hours. Like, she was probably over 18, so that they didn't have to use children hours as much.
Right.
Yeah, so they've probably cast a 20-year-old in that role or something. Oh, I'd have to go look it up, but I mean,
I'm sure she's of age.
Yeah.
You're trying to say she's hot or whatever, right?
No, I'm not even a little. No. And actually, like, now that I'm grown, watching her behavior when she becomes a ghost, like,
right.
It's like,
yeah,
oh my god, what a fucking annoying teenager.
Yeah, this is a lot better than the life I have now. And...
Yeah, okay, Judy Jetson from Jetsons the Movie. That's a niche reference, but we did
I watched it on this movie.
Yeah, like, it's... Yeah.
What to say about this movie?
Yeah. And you know, the thing that I find most difficult about this movie?
What's that?
Finding a segue for Sponsorship Corner!
Yeah, damn, we made it. You bait and switched me.
Yeah.
I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there even that much sponsorship in this one?
No, there wasn't. So always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Ghost Dad is brought to you by Chevrolet and Oldsmobile. so they're cars, Zenith Electronics, Melk, and Liquor Mart might be a real one. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
There's a Liquor Mart here.
Yeah.
It's definitely a store somewhere.
Yeah. So, go Liquor Mart.
Go to your local Liquor Mart.
Yeah. So, after he gets fired, he gets home. Joan comes over and confronts him. And, with perfect timing, Edith.
Yes, from
London. Yeah, you're like, who's Edith?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I only know that Edith guy. Yeah, he of course shows up with perfect time. Like, okay, the flight from London, like, wouldn't he have had to leave almost immediately after?
He has a device that can suck ghosts.
I mean, I guess London to New York is only like 8 hours or something like that, but still, it's like...
Well, he has a device that can suck ghosts from the United States. Maybe he has a teleportation machine.
Oh, possibly.
Maybe he's Ghost Doctor Who.
Maybe he is a ghost.
Maybe he's a ghost.
Yeah.
Shit, spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Ghost
that's
is copyrighted.
Right. Yeah. But so, when everyone is now all together in the house, though, and we find out that he's just jumped out of the body, they start saying, okay, let's phone hospitals, let's try to track down what's happened. And they all go to a different room in the house. How many lines does this house have? Because back when I had a landline,
I was just gonna
if
say,
someone's on the phone,
you can hear them.
Yeah, unless you have a whole other phone number. So are
That's
you telling
the
me they have...
classic bit.
Do they have four
Mom,
phones?
Stop listening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, or... internet back in the day, even where it's like if someone picked up the phone line, scream,
yeah,
internet
that.
Sound. And, yeah, oh, fuck. I was in the middle of downloading some porn. Fuck.
As you do.
Yeah. One bit at a time. But yeah, so I just, unless Joan went next door, but I think she went upstairs to use the phone. Like, it's like if she went back to her own house, okay, well, that's at least two phones. Maybe they have a dad line and a kid line.
Right.
Maybe. I did growing up. We had a kid line.
Okay.
Yeah, well, but there were seven of us in the household. So
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. But anyway, they make calls to all the hospitals. And as they go racing there, We have Chekhov's roller skate comes back to haunt us. Because I forgot to mention that. Before he plummets in the elevator, he almost dies on a roller skate that is sitting at the very top of the stairs. The very first step at the very top.
Good place to leave your roller skates.
Fabulous place to keep your roller skates.
Where else are you going to put them?
Yeah.
Name me a better place to put your roller skates. You can't. See?
I can't.
You took too long.
I did. Yeah.
It's impossible. When I think roller skates, top stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is where Diane ends up slipping on the skates, falling down the stairs, and now she is a spirit as well.
When this happened, I wasn't really looking at the TV. I had to rewind it for half a second, because when she falls, you can see like a TV next to her. And for some reason, I thought, like, a TV fell on top of her.
Oh, nice.
And killed her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would have been a good one.
Right? Slips, yeah. Falls into the TV. Ah!
Yeah, I've seen death by tube TV at least three times in movies.
In real life, I thought you were going to say.
No. I've only once in real life. Three times in movies. Yeah. So yeah, they rush Diane to hospital, and luckily, I guess it's the same hospital their dad's at.
Yeah.
Coincidences, you know.
Small town, New York.
He plummets off, yeah, small town, New York. He plummeted off a guardrail that was out of town somewhere.
That bridge I meant to bring up, too, I didn't do any research, so I can't say I can't figure out what bridge that is. But it looks very familiar, that bridge.
Yeah. I don't remember... I wish I had the credits in front of me. Somewhere near the end of the credits, I remember seeing that they filmed somewhere that I found unexpected.
Oh.
So...
Hokkaido, Japan.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, just... I don't know. They were filming in Australia or something. I don't know. There was just some random shit that it's like, oh, okay. Sure. I mean, maybe Bill Cosby had like the pull of someone like Adam Sandler, where it's like, I want a vacation. I'm going to go film on Hawaii.
Like a Sandler film,
I need to go to Australia. Let's film down there. Yeah. I don't know. I just vaguely remember, but I've also watched like three different movies this week for this show. So it might have been one of those other ones. Yeah, so we've got rebellious teenage fucking annoying ass Diane ghost as well.
Yeah, he's... suicidal ghost daughter and suicidal ghost dad.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And but he gets to the point where he's fading pretty hard.
And he's so faded, bro.
He's so faded. Yeah, he's flickering. He's faded. He can barely even move. But Diane manages to get him back to his body and promises that...
Yeah, and he walks and does it on his own.
Yeah.
Which is why I say suicidal ghost dad, because he just, fuck it, I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah.
Like, he can get up and move. I guess that it's hopeless he didn't know where his body was.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And this is also one of those cases, like, she learns pretty fast how to use her skills.
Yes. That's right? Where I was like, why did he have to get lightsaber zapped and all this? She just...
Yeah. Hey, I can talk. I'm in sync. She's better than him right off. She can fly. She can control her flight.
Benefits of dying young, I guess.
I guess
maybe
so.
Maybe that's what the 27 Club is.
Yeah.
You die before 27, you just pick up ghostly abilities immediately.
Yeah.
It's like learning a new language.
It is.
An instrument.
Yeah. So when they both end up waking up, his first comment, of course, is about the draft that he gets under his skirt.
Very silly.
Which is the only other maybe possibly uncomfortable moment, like line with the 2024 lens of this show. Yeah. And then we get the return of the satanic cab driver who somehow survived the accident. Like, he didn't get hospitalization at all. How did he survive?
No, yeah, the reason, because it blew my mind. I was like, okay, yeah, he left his wallet in the cab that then he fell into the lake in.
Mm-hmm.
But the cab driver, I guess, never turned up. But that doesn't make sense either. Because if he stumbled out of the water, he would have gone to work, no? And they would have been like, where's your fucking taxi, man? You were out driving. We thought you were dead.
Yeah.
How do you get that new taxi? Blah, 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 blah. Anyways, yeah. The logic of this movie, it's just... makes no sense.
Yeah.
Any piece of it.
Yeah. And then there we go. The end.
Thank God.
I mean, it's funny because like last week at the end, or at the tail of end of our episode, I was saying how I just had this craving to watch this movie despite the garbage person that was leading it.
Right.
And it did everything that I hoped it would. And so, I mean, we'll get to our final thoughts, but that is Ghost Dad. Now, Chris, on IMDb, it scored 4.4 out of 10, has a Metascore of, well, none listed. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 6% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 32. But, Chris, those are just numbers. Like slipping on a roller skate and falling down the stairs. Hit us with some reviews. Like hitting a guardrail would have been a better one. Ugh. Like hitting a guardrail.
So many opportunities.
Plummeting into the river. Hit us with some reviews.
What am I? Smallville.
That's right.
Alrighty. So the reviews on this movie just... everybody had their own essay to write.
Did you find a 10 out of 10 by any chance? Or like 5 out of 5?
Well, yeah, no, there were good ones.
Okay.
But people, all of the 5 out of 5s are just very biased. And it's like, did you write this review just with the memory of the movie you had? Or did you actually go back and watch the movie? Because it's just...
did you work on the movie?
It's all like, oh, I loved Cosby growing up, blah, blah, blah. I remember loving this movie. And they're all so long. Just everybody has such a long opinion. So I printed off a couple short and sweet ones.
Cool.
Let's start with 3 out of 10 stars from Eric Stevenson. The 62nd worst thing Cosby ever did. Yeah.
Now,
let's three see. Out of 10, though.
I'm trying to remember how. I thought there were only 33 allegations.
Allegations, though. Yeah. Okay. We don't know. I mean,
you're drugging somebody. He was only convicted for one.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Not to get into the legality of sexual assault claims, but they're kind of hard to fight in court based on the way that system is structured.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially with so much time removed from the incident. And the other thing I was going to say is he drugged most of these women. Like,
yeah,
foggy memory. Who knows if you even remember Bill Cosby in the equation or you think it's a part of your trip.
That's true.
Like, yeah. Anyways. This one's from Boy Roar Bison. He gives it half a star. He says, Sidney Poitier directed Ghost Dad, Never Forget. My dad died in an eerily similar fashion when I was a kid, but he never came back in specter form to check on us and crack wise. My dad sucked, obviously.
Ouch. Like,
it's true, though. He never came back and crack wise. If you don't come back and crack wise,
I suck. Know.
You're at least it goes on my list wherever Bill Cosby lies on it. Bill Cosby, dad.
Wow.
You gotta come back crack wise. He did it. He did it.
I mean, now I want to know how similar of a fashion that his dad died.
The exact same bridge. I'm glad you asked. I did the research on this one.
Yeah, okay.
And finally, from Alexander Drysdale. I say Alexander because it's D-R-E.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 out of 5.
Okay.
What a great movie. Loved it. Cosby was hilarious. I wonder where he is now. One person found this helpful.
What's that guy up to these days?
You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe do a Google. It was posted 6 months ago, too.
Wow.
The 62nd worst thing Cosby ever did, that was in 2017. So before he was, I guess, while the legal battle was going on, I guess that makes sense. But
yeah.
Ahead of his time.
I wonder if Leonard Part 6 was one of the other ones.
Maybe the 61st.
61st, yeah. Right on. Yeah, Ghost Dad.
Spirit Dad.
Spirit Dad. Spirit Fingers. Finger. Okay. So.
What?
I don't know. I'm just doing word association things now. I'm figuring out how I'm going to, you know, it's a memory thing. Anyway.
Okay.
Spirit Dad, Ghost Dad. It's, like I said at the top, this is one of those ones that this is exactly what this show is for. Because I love this movie. I loved the star of this movie, all of that stuff. And boy, oh boy, I sat down and watched this, and boy, is it a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And it's not even just because of the 2024 lens on the man in it. It's I can look at Smallville, and I can enjoy Allison Mack in that show. I can look at that 70s show and enjoy Danny Masterson.
Right.
I can watch Glee and sing along with Puck. I mean,
or the Cosby Show and like
I can Bill go Cosby, back and watch an old Cosby Show episode and still enjoy it. Bill Cosby's comedy is still available on Spotify. I have popped it in within the last year to listen to some of his old comedy albums that I grew up with. I mean, I haven't completely forgotten that this man exists, but I know that he did some trash things. So, but it's not even having the lens of that on top of this movie. It's just, it's a messy movie. It's not a good movie. And I am ashamed of 12-year-old Sean for thinking that this was just the bee's knees. Because, no, this was not a good fucking movie. I used to like this one. Nope, not anymore. I don't think I could even be as generous as that 32. It was a piece of shit. It was a terrible fucking movie.
It's hard to get through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, your last chance to roast it here.
It's not a good movie. I just avoid this one.
Yeah.
There's just, yeah. There's no redeeming qualities. It's just, like, they do some ghost bits. It's silly.
If this is one of those...
it's just not a good movie. Like, I have nothing to say about
it. If this is one of those movies that you remember from your childhood and you're sitting there thinking, Jesus, I haven't watched that movie in a long time. I should go check it out. You know, I'm sorry if you already did, if you listened to our spoiler alert, but maybe you checked out this movie just to see what we have to say about it because you vaguely remember it.
Right.
Judging by the budget and box office, I don't think...
many people saw it.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people do remember this movie.
Yeah. Never heard of it. Never, ever, ever. I heard of the rest of the movies you mentioned.
I mean, this month, we started terrible, but at least that was a lot of fun to talk about. I mean, not that I didn't have fun talking about this one, but it's like our movies have progressively been getting worse all month.
Damn.
You know, like, like if we had swapped Austin Powers and Batman.
Yeah, it should have ended with a kick or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, there we go. I think that's Ghost Dad. And that's our show for this week. Oh, boy. If you like that show, well, good. It's better than the movie,
yeah,
I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. But why not tell someone? Go out and tell someone you know and just say, hey, there's this show I like, because word of mouth is so important for a podcast trying to build an audience. Or if you want to go above and beyond and use the interwebs to try to get us noticed, well, go over to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars. Give us as many stars as you can. Or if you want to donate to the show, become an executive producer, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne, become part of the Patreon family, and then you get a shout out just like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast. If you want to contact us, email us at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Visit our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. Go and follow us on social medias, all of that. And, you know, look at my funny memes. I like some of my memes. I think I do good memes. I do good work. The ones that I'm proudest of, like, they take hours to do, and like people probably don't even appreciate the amount of work that I put into some of my Photoshopping and stuff. I don't know. I like followers. Yeah. DM us, you know, all that sort of stuff. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Chris. Daddy Issues Month. Come to a close.
Yeah.
Goes out with a fizzle.
A wet fart.
It goes out with a wet fart. It sure did. But thank you so much for joining. I feel like an asshole. You could have shouted out your little side hustle that you got going on all of these. I'm just used to you not like promoting anything.
Yeah, I guess if you're into nerdy candles, me and my girlfriend, we do a candle business at Giggle and Gimble.
We actually have like a lot of Edmonton listeners. Like the majority of my listeners are probably from Edmonton, so
makes sense. Yeah. So yeah, if you like candles, we do trade fairs in the Edmonton area. We're hoping to expand to the Alberta area as a whole, but yeah, if you like candles or Dungeons and Dragons, we do some Dungeons and Dragons merch and nerdy candles. So yeah.
So there we go.
Check
plug,
us out.
Plug. Yeah, I
mean, at Giggle and Gimble.
There we go. I'll put the words in the show note.
Nice.
So thank you so much for joining me this month and
of course.
And doing this month. It was a lot of fun, as shitty as this last movie was.
Yeah, this one I didn't like watching, so.
It's a first experience for you, though, huh? You had never seen this? I gave you a first?
Sure you did, yeah.
Well, right on. So next week, Colin Stewart is back, and oh, whole new month. We are doing a Western-themed month. We are doing, yeah, for June, we are doing some cowboys and stuff like that. So next week, the John Candy classic, Wagons East. We had been talking about this movie for a while, back when we did Canadian Bacon.
Right.
This was the last movie that he filmed. Canadian Bacon was the last movie that was released of his. So both of those came out posthumously.
Right.
So, yeah, so Wagons East, I'm kind of looking forward to it because I barely remember this one. So there we go. So until next week, I'm Sean Wells. I mean, Chris can say goodbye.
See ya.
Yeah.
Bye, I'm Chris.
Yeah, and until next week when Colin is back and we do Wagons East. Thank you for listening. I fucked up my ending. And until then, I'm Sean Wells. I'm Colin Stewart. And this...
There you go. Yeah, that's right in your head.
And we'll see you next time for I Used to Like This One.
Bye.